blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 268, stanzas 1 through 4. All people and that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. 1 through 4 of Psalter 268. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 25. Psalm 25. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul, and deliver me, Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have heard once again the supplication of thy servant, that thou may teach him, that thou may instruct him, that thou may give guidance upon his way, upon his path. Then he needed thee as that great prophet, because he did not know the way, and he has experienced himself to be nothing but a fool. Lord, wilt thou give us also that same instruction, because it is the reality of our life. It is the reality of our heart due to our deep fall, created in knowledge and lost it in our father Adam, and knowing not ourselves nor thee, and having no sorrow over that broken communion. Lord, may thou look upon us in this day and give us that same cry as thy servant, that can only be born out of the work of thy Holy Spirit within us. Else we are dead in sins and in trespasses. We have no desire, no hunger, no thirst. Lord, wilt thou make it a different by thy Holy Spirit, and grant us a truth in the inward part, that we may not need thee only in thy prophetical work, but may it be also in the work of thy kingship and thy priesthood, that we may need to be led by thee, because cannot rule our own spirits, and we cannot defend ourselves from the prince of darkness. We cannot stand under the temptations of Satan. That we need that thou would be on our right and on our left, that thou would keep us under the shadow of thy wings, but that thou may also forgive and take away all of our iniquities, that thou may cleanse and wash us and make us fit to return again to dwell with thee, and make our body also fit through the sanctification of thy spirit to be the dwelling place of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we need thee for everything, but we see not that need by nature. And it is in the life of thy own children that they see so little of it. Oh, that thou may lead further in the steps of grace, that thou may give more and more that a knowledge of self, that thou may be esteemed in the highest by thy own church, and that they might need thee, that they may become and remain a true beggar at thy footstool. Lord, wilt thou remember each and every one of us, when we know nothing of that new birth, and when we are still traveling for our own account. Have thou mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath, and permit us not to live under an external religion, under an external call, only to have it testify against us to be a savor of death unto death in that last day? Or wilt thou make thy spirit to come and to take up his labor in the midst of us as a congregation, that many may be born in Zion? Wilt thou go before all those that have special needs? Be with the young child who has been in the hospital in this past week once again, and thou hast made thus far all things so well, and we may acknowledge thee, Lord, humble parents and family and all of us under thy great goodness, for him and for each and every one of us, and that may receive our health and strength to do the labors of our hands day by day, and yet it is so undeserved from our side, that it may bring us in the right place before thee. And wilt thou look upon all those that instruct our children in our own school, the principals, the teachers, and all those that labor therein, that thou may prove that thou art in the midst of them by granting a blessing to them and unto our dear children. Wilt thou be with the instruction that goes forth over the length and the breadth of this whole world, that is truly out of thy holy word and according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit, that thou may lead more into that truth, that they may bring it also from the east and to the east and to the west. Also may it be upon our own mission field and the other mission fields wherein thy true servants may labor. Lord, may thou give thy spirit in the midst of them to bring in also those from the unestablished churches. And may thou give more laborers therefore into thy vineyard over the length and breadth of this whole world, that it may be bound upon the heart of thy dear children, that it may become bound also upon the heart of those whom thou wilt truly convert and thrust forth to do that labor that is so impossible on the one side and so pleasant on the other side. Lord, thou can make it so well, and thou art so faithful in all that thou commandest and what thou givest. Wilt thou look upon all those that are in the prisons and all those that have done wrong, that thou may give a true repentance, and when they may be under a sentence unjustly, that thou may thyself stand above it, to give a blessing unto them not only, but also that justice may be carried out. Give there two judges in the midst of our land that may judge according to thy holy word, and rulers that may make laws according to thy word. Turn us from our sin as a nation and as a people, and deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Lord, go before us in this afternoon hour, when we are called to bring thy word again. May thou make it easy again. May thou come in with thy Holy Spirit. May thou give us the words to speak and the matter to dwell, to burn in our heart, that it may be, and that thy spirit may dwell evidently, feelingly, and believingly amongst us, that thy children may be edified, may be strengthened and nourished in their most holy faith, and that new ones may be born in Zion. Wilt thou be also with those who have been brought up here in this place, and who in this day are in places of this world, or who have no more desire to come up amongst us. Lord, wilt thou strengthen mourning parents? Wilt thou give a cry at thy footstool? Wilt thou be pleased to remember those that have gone astray, that thy truth may be bound upon their hearts, oh, that all together we may receive an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 32, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear the right. Regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear. Thou in the night, my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. The last collection today is for the school fund. Psalter 32, stanzas 1 through 4.
Thank you.
Congregation, the Lord did not create this world and then leave it over to itself. But we can read in His Word how that He upholds and still governs everything by His own providence. The Lord also did not call His people out of darkness into His marvelous light and then leave them over to themselves in this world. But He has promised His church, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is often a wonder in the life of that people when they see their own behavior, how that they leave the Lord days without number. Before the Lord Jesus left this world and has departed again to His Father, then He has set everything in order for the good welfare of His people. That is the same, boys and girls, as we read about Jacob. When he was ready to depart out of this life, and then He has called about Him all His children. That He has set His household in order. And so we read also of the Lord Jesus Christ, before that He has left this world, that He has made provision for the welfare and for the comfort of His own church. And that is now so evident in His institution of the Holy Sacraments. And this we wish to consider in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 25, questions 65 through 68. Lord's Day 25, questions 65 through 68. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all His benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66. What are the sacraments? Answer, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which He offered for us on the cross. Question 68. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer, two, namely, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. So for our Lord's Day, our theme is faith. First, whence it proceeds, as we read in question 65. Second, how it is confirmed, as we read in question 66. And third, whereto it is directed, as we read in question 67. Faith, whence it proceeds, how it is confirmed, whereto it is directed. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? How different, congregation, from last time. Then we heard another question. What? Do not our good works merit? Why cannot our good works be the whole or the part of our righteousness before God? And now we hear it so different. Now we hear that there is no more rebellion. It is just as if now this heart that has been conquered, that man has been given submission. Has that ever taken place in our own life? That the Lord may truly bring us to the end of all the expectation that we have in ourselves, and that we may come to submit under that free and sovereign grace of God. Whence doth this faith proceed? That is a very important question. And why is it such an important question? Because of the errors that have come into the church of God. They are errors, in the first place, in doctrine, and they are errors, in the second place, in the practice, in the doctrine. When we ask here, whence doth this faith proceed, then we know that within the church that the doctrine of Pelagianism has infected the true church even from its very beginings. What did Pelagius say? He says that faith that is a work of man. He says that faith that lays within man's capability, because he says that the fall that did not bring man into an utter impossibility from his own side. Man still retained a spiritual capability. Later, semi-Pelagianism has taken hold within the churches. And that semi-Pelagianism that says that will of man that is needing assistance, semi, it is half, as it were, a Pelagianism. That is, the will of man that needs help from the Lord. Why do they say this? Because the semi-Pelagian insists and that because the Lord has given to us a command in our natural, unregenerate state, then the Lord must know that what he has commanded us to do is also able to be performed by us. That is their basis. Thus, the Lord would never command someone to do something and that he was not able to perform, to carry out. But we read in the scriptures something very, very different. We read in the scriptures that the will of man that is only in rebellion. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. Ye will not. However, we know that Arminius, he has brought forth also his doctrine, saying that that will of man that is able to be changed by himself. In other words, that will of man is free. Thus, the Lord says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And the Arminian says, you must now change your will. You ought to desire, you must desire, you must will to come unto God. This congregation we deny. Not that we ought not to come to Him that we might have life, but that the capability of a man dead in trespasses and sins, that is completely gone. That is why the Lord Jesus says, not only ye will not come unto me, but he says, no man can come unto me except that the Father which hath sent me draw him. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says that it is the work of the Holy Spirit, it is the drawing of that Holy Spirit sent by the Father to overcome the resistance of man, to overcome his inability, and to give unto man a new will, a will that is able to will again that which is good, that is able to desire again that which is a spiritual desire after the true, after the living God. Thus, our instructors ask, whence doth this faith proceed? We can see their reason because of the many errors, the errors in doctrine. A congregation, often there is even no error in doctrine, when there may be a sound doctrine, and yet in the practice that the preaching is Arminian. Thus, that faith that is portrayed as something which is lying in the capability of man, and that men are receiving it so, so that men with no understanding of what that true faith is, that they are able to exercise their faith at their own choosing. They have not to wait upon the Lord because they have that faith at their own desire, at their own fingertips. Thus, man in our world, young people, man becomes more than a beggar. And when man becomes more than a beggar, and then you can be sure and that you are hearing what is untruth. Whence? Whence doth this faith proceed? Our fathers are clear. From the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That true church that is, that remains dependent.
That is the reality. That is the experience. Peter may be given by faith to walk upon that sea. But a moment later, and then he has to cry out to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, save me." Why is that? Do you think, boys and girls, that if Peter had the ability to exercise that faith himself, that he ever would have sunk down into those waters? Never. No, then he would have stayed always upon the top. And that is, young people, the place that you see the Christianity of our day, that is always upon the top. But you do not read that of Peter. You do not read that of David. "Oh my God," he says, "the waters, they are come in upon my soul." Oh, could David exercise that faith that the Lord had planted in his heart in that regeneration? No, then we do not bring ourselves to such a cry. Oh, read it of Asaph. What does he say? He says, "My feet were well nigh slipped," he says. "They were almost gone." Oh, then it is evident that he was not able to exercise that faith in his own strength. Whence does this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost. Does that then, congregation, leave man free? Does that leave man without guilt? No, it does not. That you say, "I have no faith, and I am not able to give myself that faith." Congregation, the Lord says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Thus, when that faith is not in our heart, then our whole life, that is sin. Unbelief, that is our guilt. But then it is necessary for us to go back to paradise to see the reason why that unbelief is our guilt. And why is that? That is because of the way that the Lord has created us. And how has the Lord created us? The Lord has created us with a free will. Thus, the Lord has created us good, upright, able to choose that which is good with a spiritual life, spiritual desire, a hunger and a thirst after God, which was pleasing to Him. The fact that we are by nature not able and not willing to come unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ by a true faith, that fact is and remains our own doing and our own fault and therefore our own guilt. Thus, that church that is lying in its guilt, even when it is not able to exercise that true faith, congregation, has our unbelief ever become our guilt? Has our unbelief ever become our sorrow? Has our unbelief ever become our burden? That we had to cry to God that He may give to us that true faith, that we were created with in paradise? Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence then doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Thus, how is this faith worked? We read here, by the preaching of the gospel. Or is it our burden that we have no faith? Then we read here that our fathers say that the Lord has given means whereby he is giving that faith unto his true church, and that he is using in the first place his own word, sometimes by the personal reading of his word. Do we then take that word into our secret chamber? Do we then seek God in his word? Or is it sometimes our place in our home, in our office, in a school, young people? Or is it sometimes that we cannot do without that reading of that holy word of God? That means that the Lord is using to give that true conversion, to give regeneration, to give faith in the hearts of his people. We say it can come by private reading in his word, but most of the time the Lord is using the public ministry, that the Lord is using the public explanation and application of his own word, his servants, and the preaching of the gospel. That is the very reason that the Lord has instituted the ministry, because if it pleased him and that he would call his church by the private reading of his word alone, and then his word could have been spread over all this world, and so the Lord would bring in his church. But it is not so. The Lord has, in addition to this, also instituted the ministry. Therefore, that public ministry that is to be held above the private study, reading of the Holy Word of God. What does David say? The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. It was by the preaching that Lydia's heart was opened, that she may attend unto that which was spoken by God's servant. Oh, then that ministry of the word that is becoming so precious to that true people of the Lord. That it is such a wonder to them that the Lord has even sent his servant. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, of him that publisheth peace. And when those riddles, and they are laying in the heart of God's children, and we can read of Asaph, boys and girls, where was it that the riddles that were in the heart of Asaph were answered? That was, Asaph says, in the house of the Lord. Oh, see how the Lord is giving his blessing upon his own institution of the ministry of his word. How that the the eunuch is receiving instruction from the servant of the Lord, an explanation of the word of God, and so that man may go on his way rejoicing. See how the Lord has given that 3,000 may be converted upon the preaching of his servants in that day of Pentecost.
But congregation, faith that does not only need to be worked, but we can read here in our catechism that faith that also needs to be confirmed. That is our second thought. Thus, there is a difference. There is a difference between the working of faith and the confirmation of faith. What does that mean, to confirm? What word is in there, children? Confirm. That is the word firm. That is to confirm, that is to take something and to make it stronger from being weak, to make it more firm, to make it more steadfast. Confirm. What does that mean? That means faith varies from person to person, but also within the same person, that there are variations in faith, in the exercise of faith. Then the church is not a stranger to these variations. Thus, the Lord is working faith through his word, and by his word bringing new ones into the church of God. But how is it that the Lord is confirming that faith to make it more firm, to make it stronger? That he strengthens that faith. That is in two ways. That is in the first place also by his word, also by the preaching, also by the instruction, that the Lord is opening that word of God by his Holy Spirit, that the Lord is revealing himself through that word. Thus, the preaching that has a twofold purpose, that is for the planting of faith and also for the strengthening of faith. But now there is also another, a very special means that the Lord has instituted for the confirmation of faith, for the strengthening of faith. And what is that very special means that the Lord has instituted for that purpose? That is the holy sacraments. Here we have proof in the very institution, in the very giving of the holy sacraments to his church, that the Lord Jesus Christ knows that faith that needs to be strengthened, confirmed, that he knows that he has a church that is of little faith. That is the reason he prayed. That is the reason he still prays, that the faith of that church would not fail. But it is also the reason that he has instituted the holy sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Thus the sacraments are holy,
The sacraments are instituted by a holy God. And therefore, those sacraments are not to be used in a light, in a frivolous manner, without thinking, without preparation, without meditation. But the sacraments, we read here, are a declaration that he may the more fully declare. Thus, the sacraments declare something. They say something. There is a message that the Lord will bring to his church in those sacraments. Further, those sacraments, they are, we read, visible signs and seals. Why are they visible? Well, who are they for? They're for those that are weak. And so the Lord gives something that they not only may hear, but the Lord gives a second sense that they may also see something. That the Lord may help those that are not able to help themselves. So, a visible sign and a seal. A sign that is a representation. A sign signifies something else. Not just what it is, but it signifies something else. Thus, the Lord shows to his people with their eyes in the sacraments what he may give them to hear with their ears in the preaching of his word. A sign. Then we read, it is a seal. What is a seal? A seal is an authentication. Try to make that simple again for you children. When you would receive a letter tomorrow from the Prime Minister, and that letter said that the Prime Minister was soon going to come and he wants to stop at your house because he wants to see you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to eat with you. He wants to commune with you. What would you say of such a letter? Well, I think, perhaps, then you would be wondering which one of your friends was trying to play a little trick on you to send you such a letter. Why? Say, it is unbelievable. How can that be? Who am I? Prime Minister, come to see me? I don't think so. And then, when you would find on that letter a seal, what is a seal? Maybe you have seen that sometimes on your birth certificate. Then there is a raised portion that has been stamped on that certificate and that has been stamped there by a seal that has given an impression in that paper. That is for a reason. Because anyone can write such a letter, but anyone has not this seal. Thus, when you would see on that letter a seal. The seal that only can come from the office of the prime minister. Then how would your thoughts begin to change? That you would say, this letter that is actually true. This letter that comes not from just my friend. No, but that letter, because of that seal, then I know that it is coming. It cannot but come from the office of that prime minister. Thus a seal. What value is now in that seal? What is that value? The value of that seal is to help you to believe that even though you are nothing and the prime minister is so high, that still it is really true. All the blessedness of a seal. And now the Lord, he has given to his church a seal. Why? Why is it necessary? Because, congregation, there is a message. And it comes not from the prime minister, but it comes from the God of heaven and of earth. And what is the instruction that the Lord has given unto his people? He has brought them from the great height that they were at in unbelief and in upholding themselves in their own self-righteousness. And he has brought them into the place of the publican who dared not to raise his eyes unto heaven, but did smite upon his breast. O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And now, when the Lord will say in his word, when the Lord will give to that people a promise, then how is it in the life, in the heart of that people? No, it cannot. It cannot be. Why? Because of that view that they have received of him. Because of the impression that the Lord has given of that holy and that righteous God. And the view that they have received of themselves. How wretched, how sinful, how polluted, how great their sins and their miseries are. And now believe it. Believe it. That God would speak in a favorable way. Such an one as I am. Oh, do you feel something? How impossible that it is for that people to believe. Oh, do you feel something? How that exercise of faith that is not in the hands of the true people of the Lord.
Now, what a mercy that the Lord has given to that people a sign, but not only a sign, but that the Lord has given to that people a seal. What does he say? He says, "Oh, my people, who cannot believe it because of who you are." He says, with that sign and with that seal, he says, "Don't be afraid. It is true. It is I. It is I myself." Oh, then you see how precious, how necessary is that seal in the life of that true church. The Lord gave to Abraham a great promise. And what did the Lord do for him? The Lord says, "Abraham, go outside and look up." Does every circumstance in your whole life testify against my promise? Is it impossible, Abraham? Then look up and tell the stars. And if you can number them, so great, Abraham, shall thy seed be. Oh, how good was Christ when he has left this world, departed to his Father, to provide for his church everything that is necessary, also for the exercise of that true saving faith. Let us sing. Psalter 112, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. "Withhold not thou and thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, and thy truth be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day." 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 112.
Thank you.
Our last thought, whereto faith is directed by the sacraments. Faith congregation has an object. Faith believes, but faith believes something. Thus, it never exists alone. Our eyes can exist alone. But sight that sees something. Moses said, "Behold, they will not believe me." What will they not believe? They will not believe me. Well, they will not believe the words that I speak. They will not believe the word that I say to them that thou hast said unto me. That is, that word. The Sadducees believed many things, but they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Thus, faith that has an object. And through faith that has several objects. Faith has an object in the first place of God's word. Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Thus, that people may believe God in his word. But God himself is also an object of faith. Thus we read of Manasseh when the Lord converted him that he knew that the Lord, he was God. Thus God was the object of that faith of Manasseh. Sometimes also an individual attribute of God is the object of faith. For example, the omniscience of God. Boys and girls, when the Lord would convert you, then you will begin to believe. Then the Lord will plant faith in your heart. But what will then be the object of that faith? That will be God. You will begin to believe that God is omniscient. You will begin to believe. You will begin to walk with an impression over this world that every place I go and everything I do and every word I say that is known unto God, that is faith. With the object of the omniscience of God. Or that we begin to believe in the justice of God. That I have to appear before him. That is why Josiah rent his clothes at the reading of that holy law. But now Christ, that second person of the divine Trinity, he is actually the special object of the faith of that true church of God. And though he may not be the immediate object of that faith, in the beginning of that way, yet it is so necessary and that he becomes the object of that faith. Not only in his divinity, we can read that in the scriptures, how that those came unto him because they believed in his power, that he was the Son of God. In all their helplessness, but that also the mercy of God and the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that that becomes the special object of the faith of the church. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he has offered for us on the cross. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Thus there is one ground for salvation, that is in the mediatorial labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved, congregation, as a Muslim. We cannot be saved as a Jew. We do not say the Muslims and the Jews cannot be saved. But we cannot be saved when we believe as they believe, because they do not believe in that special object of faith that is necessary to bring a man into peace with God. Never was salvation truly experienced in the soul of a man outside of that sacrifice of Christ. It is impossible, because this is the atonement before God for sin. That was the center of that whole ceremonial law. Why? That was for good reason. Because without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We can never be forgiven outside of that cross. The rich young ruler has missed this. Why? Because he has turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we miss him, then we miss everything. And therefore, people of the Lord, therefore the Lord himself is directing the faith of his church, of his children, to what? Especially to that sacrifice in those sacraments. Oh, that is a people that have not the ability to believe it in and of themselves. That is a people whose sin that is higher than the heavens, and a pollution of soul that is, well, they feel ready to sink them lower than the grave. There is one consolation for that people, that is in God himself. But they themselves are so unworthy. And that is the reason that the Lord Jesus has provided his sacrament as a help for that wretched people, and to assure them that it is truly for such ones as they are. In that water of baptism, then the Lord has a message. He has a declaration unto that people. He says, here is blood of cleansing sufficient for the most filthy and for the most polluted. And that wine and that bread of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus says, here is a sacrifice that is sufficient to pay the price for the most guilty in this whole world. Truly, truly fearful ones.
guilty ones in yourself. I gave myself for the death of the cross to bear your iniquity. Oh, what a comfort, what a consolation for those who cannot believe in their own strength. Why? For the greatness of that gift. And so they are given to sink away under the wonder of that gift of free and sovereign grace that is without money and without price. Then they are, like we read, them that dream. That the Lord says, it is really true. I confirm it. I certify it to you by my own sacrament. And then the people may bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, that is the reason that faith that is so important in the life of that church, not only for their own comfort, no, but also for the glory of the Lord. And therefore the Lord has given his holy sacrament. Congregation. Oh, then, is it this day our burden? It is about faith. There are means when we do not have faith. Then there is means to receive faith. Do we say you can give faith to yourself? No. Do we say it is all a gift of God? Yes. Do we say it is a one-sided work? Yes. Do we say God is sovereign in it? Yes. Blessed be God that it is so. Because otherwise, seeing our dead state, it would be impossible. But that same God, he gives us a means. A means that we might receive it. How do we use those means? How do you come here this day? What was your activity last night? What did you do before you came here this morning? Did you come here to hear us? Then you came to hear nothing. There is only one that can give it to us. He has given us the means. You may come faithfully under those means. That is good. That is proper. Is there now a burden in your heart that you go before the Lord and that you cannot let the Lord go except that the Lord would bless you in these means? People of the Lord, you say, I have so little faith. Or if it may be faith, the Lord also has given means. And those means, they are not for your sake alone. They are also for his honor. And now this congregation is a foundation that we may lay before that God. Young people, go to your home and lay upon your knees and now show something to the Lord. Will you do that? Show him something. Say, Lord, thou hast given these means. Thou hast given thy word. Thou hast given the preaching of thy word.
or wilt thou not also bless it unto me? Why? For my sake, or it is impossible? The Lord says, no. I do it not for your sakes, O house of Israel. There is no foundation there. What are we? But Lord, would be to thy glory. Wilt thou do it then for thy own name's sake? Amen. O Lord, remember us. O bless the few words. We can but stammer a little. Lord, bring it in our hearts with desire and give the application. Oh, bring us in our inner chamber. We have no faith of self. Thy church has no exercise of it of themselves. It all must come from thee. Oh, give them a place to beseech thee. And remember us in mercy. Be with us in the week to come. Each one of us in our place in this life. Help us in the circumstances of our life, whether we are young or old, whether we are in the labors of this world or the labors in our own homes or in school. Wilt thou bless the work of our hands and give us meditation upon thee and thy word? Wilt thou look on us as a consistory when we hope to meet in this week once again? Remember our brother elder who hopes to travel to the Netherlands in this week. Give him traveling mercies and give us to see him again. Safely once again at thy appointed time with his wife. Wilt thou look upon us in this evening hour, those that may be in thy house in other places, those that may read thy word in their own homes. Lord, wilt thou give that we may keep thy Sabbath day holy, forgive all that was sinful this day, and crown it with thy blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 241, and we'll sing stanzas 2 through 5. 2 through 5, I sing of mercies that endure, forever builded firm and sure, of faithfulness that never dies, established, changeless, in the skies. 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 241. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.